Welcome, and thank you for standing by. I'd like to remind all parties that your lines have been placed in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. Today's call is also being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Chris Follinsby. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you so much, Calvin. Welcome to you all for joining our SBI training call for Software ValueNet. As you are aware, since you're on this call, in 2009, three of the Software ValueNet portfolios have become eligible for Software Value Incentive. That's Cognos, Optum, and InfoSphere. We realize that many of you business partners are new to the IBM business partner community, and you're just trying to understand all about Software ValueNet, as well as how to maximize the incentives for IBM. Today, we're going to focus on software value incentives for Software ValueNet, particularly on what you need to do to successfully register an opportunity and then to later submit it for payment. SBI is our premium incentive for software in IBM, and the implementation for SBI in Software ValueNet is somewhat different than it is for our open distribution products. So we are strictly going to focus today on what you need to do as a Software ValueNet partner. If you're one of those partners that also sells in the open distribution area, you may pick up on some of the subtleties because you may already be in the SBI program from that avenue. But as I said, we're going to focus on Software ValueNet. Our primary speaker today is Mary Cipriani. Mary is one of the SBI program managers who's been working with SBI since it was initially implemented in April of 2006. In addition, I have on the call, or we have on the call, David Walker, Dave Cavett, and Lloyd Wendt, who are the three program managers for SBI who are working specifically with Software ValueNet. And they'll be available on an open line after the call to help us address any specific Software ValueNet SBI questions that you might have. Hopefully you've been working with one of the three of them already as you've tried to get on board with Software ValueNet and SBI. At the end of the call, as I mentioned, we will have a question and answer session. At that time, we'll be happy to answer any questions that you come up with. And I also just want to remind you that your channel coverage reps are an excellent source of information if you think of a question later and you want to contact somebody about something that you might have heard on the call today. I know that we have many of these channel coverage reps on the call today, and we welcome you as well. And we hope that this will be a very productive session for all of you. So with that, I would ask you to go to the agenda chart, which is number 2, and we'll take a quick look at what's on the agenda for today. And Mary, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Chris. As Chris mentioned, in the past, all IBM workstation software products sold via Passport has traditionally been in an open distribution model, meaning any type of partner could resell them from a catalog fulfillment partner to a high-value consultant or systems integrator. IBM is now moving towards a closed distribution model and restricting the ability to resell products and restricting the ability to earn incentives to limit these programs to our highly skilled ValueNet partners. I'm on slide number 3. Some of our software products will remain in open distribution, but the majority will move to a closed distribution model. We've also announced the Growth Through Skills program, which is the program under which partners must gain various technical and sales certifications. Closed distribution products will require the partner to obtain technical and sales certifications by brand group in order to be able to resell those products and also to be able to register and earn SBI fees on those products. We have this set of products in controlled distribution that are in the ValueNet program. These are typically product portfolios that are from companies that IBM acquired. And those firms that IBM acquired typically had pre-existing closed distribution models in place for their set of value-added resellers. And so IBM will continue that model for these products via the ValueNet program. The products that are in ValueNet today are Cognos, Optum, and InfoSphere. We're not going to go into any details today on FileNet because that program has not yet been rolled out. FileNet is a ValueNet product but is not yet in SVI. A business partner must apply for and be approved for ValueNet, and that process involves completing an application form and a business plan and providing customer references as well as obtaining technical and sales certifications. So only ValueNet partners can resell this set of products, and only ValueNet partners can register these deals for the SVI program. Now, if there's anyone on the call who's not familiar with the Software Value Incentive Program, SVI is IBM's worldwide partner program designed to reward those partners that are performing the consultative value-add selling activities that influence a customer's decision to purchase IBM software. And what we'll be discussing in detail today is how you as a ValueNet partner can participate in the Software Value Incentive Program to maximize your earnings and to protect your investments and sales activities at your account. Let's go to the next slide. This slide shows you some of the benefits of the ValueNet program. As I previously mentioned, only approved IBM Software ValueNet business partners are authorized to resell these products and to earn SVI incentives on ValueNet transactions. And only ValueNet partners can gain access to exclusive online content and benefits to support their customers via the Partner World Value Package. Let's go to the next slide. I think everyone on the call today has already gone through the ValueNet approval process, so we won't spend much time on this particular slide. But key things I want to point out is that once you're approved for ValueNet, you're also automatically approved for SVI. Now, note that key word. I said you're approved for SVI. You're not enrolled in SVI. So a key follow-up action item is that you must log on to the SVI website and electronically accept the SVI terms and conditions in order to complete your SVI enrollment. And then that will allow you to register your ValueNet opportunities for the SVI program. Now, if you happen to also have some skills in some of IBM's other brand families, you would still need to meet the SVI certification requirements that are associated with those non-ValueNet products. So, for example, if you're approved for ValueNet for Cognos, once you enroll in SVI, you could submit a Cognos opportunity for SVI. But if you wanted to submit a Lotus Notes opportunity, you'd still need to obtain the appropriate Lotus technical and sales certifications before you could register that Lotus opportunity for SVI. Let's go to the next slide and see how you enroll for SVI. Now, here's the link for the SVI section of the Partner World website. If you've been approved for ValueNet, the next step that you need to take is to go to this site and click on the Apply tab. There's a link at the bottom of the page that says Apply to participate in SVI. Now, this step needs to be done by whomever at your firm is designated as your Partner World Authorized Profile Administrator. Now, if you don't know who your APA is or if you need assistance with that particular step, you can call the IBM Partner World hotline. If you don't have that number, it's the same Partner World number for all of our programs, 800-IBM-9990. Okay? So now when you click on Apply to Participate in SVI, that will link and redirect you to the Partner World profile system. And then these are the exact steps that you need to click through to submit your SVI enrollment. You click on that Apply tab, you get redirected to Partner World profile system, then you sign in with your ID and password, click on Update Your Profile, click on Update Company Profile, click on Benefits and Relationships in the left-hand menu, click on Software Value Incentive link, and then complete the information on that page and submit it to IBM. Easy as that. Let's go to the next slide. Now, IBM rolled out the SVI program worldwide in 2006. There are some key differences in how SVI works for non-ValueNet partners versus SVI for Cognos and Optum and InfoSphere. So if your partner that's working with both ValueNet and non-ValueNet solutions, you need to understand these differences. Or if you're just a ValueNet partner, as you read or review standard SBI materials, you need to understand what's different when we're talking about SBI opportunities for ValueNet products. Now, IBM's preferred route to market for ValueNet partners is that you carry on business as usual, that you continue to resell the product much the same as you did before IBM acquired those companies. Our preference is that you continue being the reseller. That is our preferred route to market for these products. But if you are jointly co-selling with IBM, then SBI fees are available. So it's an either-or scenario. You either earn margin by being a reseller, or IBM is the reseller, and instead you earn the SBI rebate. Now, you're going to get the steepest margins by acting as a reseller, or if IBM turns out to be the reseller, then you've got the SBI fees that you can be applicable for. So it's an either-or scenario. You can't double-dip and get both resell margin and SBI. SBI fees are only applicable to those ValueNet transactions that are fulfilled by IBM Direct. As I mentioned, you know, it's an either-or. You're either getting SBI because IBM fulfilled it, or you're getting margin because you were the reseller on it. Only sales orders that are fulfilled via Passport Advantage contracts are eligible for SBI fees. So if the sales order is fulfilled via a flexible contract type contract, that is not going to be eligible for SBI. It has to be via a Passport contract. You should only enter a single ValueNet portfolio per opportunity record. In other words, if you're selling both ValueNet and non-ValueNet products to the same customer, create one opportunity record for Cognos and create a different record for DB2. A key point that I want to review for those of you on the call who were one of the grandfathered Cognos partners is the last bullet on this chart. So be aware that after this initial waiver period has passed, you must obtain the required certifications to remain in the ValueNet program and to be able to continue to register SBI opportunities for Cognos. That waiver was just to give you a grace period to obtain the Cognos certifications you need. And I think there's some of you out there might be under the impression that you don't need certifications at all. But Cognos partners who were enrolled in ValueNet during that initial waiver period must obtain the applicable Cognos technical and sales certifications by the deadline in order to remain in the program. Let's go to the next slide. IBM Software Group is committed to the Software Value Incentive Program as our strategic offering to increase partner participation in the mid-market space for our software products. SBI rewards the partner who is performing the value-add consultative selling activities that influence a customer's decision to purchase IBM software. The feedback we've received from partners is that SBI provides them with the investment protection and increased profitability. IBM only approves one business partner per brand family per customer. And once you're approved as eligible, you're the only partner who can qualify for the SBI fees on that opportunity at that account. Our partners have told us they're able to reinvest their profits from SBI in company growth, and it provides them with the additional sales incentives to drive performance and invest in improving their software skills. Partners can confidently engage in demand generation and marketing activities because they'll be rewarded for identifying and closing those leads. IBM prefers that our ValueNet partners continue to do the resell portion of the transaction, but if the sales order ends up being fulfilled by IBM Direct, then SBI offers you investment protection. Now, here's a quote from one of your peers, Lou Palazzano from ISA Consulting, who recently received their first SBI payment check, and they're already seeing the benefits of participating in the SBI program. Let's go to the next slide. Here's a high-level overview of the participation requirements in SBI program. You must be a member of IBM's Partner World program, and you must enroll in the ValueNet program and also enroll in the SBI program. In order to enroll, you need to either meet the ValueNet requirements, or for those non-ValueNet products, you need to meet the applicable certification requirements. Now, because this incentive is based on a deal registration approach rather than a license fulfillment approach, our business partners must utilize the IBM Deal Registration System called Global Partner Portal, or GPP. When making a payment claim, you will need to include proof of performance of your value-add sales activities in the form of sales documentation. And of course, there are various program rules and deadlines that must also be met, and we'll review each of these in more detail. Let's go to slide number 10. Now, this slide gives us a process-oriented overview of the SBI deal registration workflow. Like most things for our partners, access will be via Partner World. The business partner enrolls in the SBI program and registers their opportunities using the GPP tool. IBM reviews your opportunities and notifies you by email, on average, within 3 to 5 business days, whether your deal has been approved or rejected. And if it was approved, we'll further designate what level of fee payment can be earned, which we refer to as ID and sell or sell only. The BP, the business partner, then has 9 months to close the deal, and you can request a single 3-month extension for a total of 1 year to close that deal and work on that opportunity. And of course, you can request IBM software resources to assist you in closing the deal. Once the sale order has closed, the business partner submits their payment claim along with supporting sales documentation. IBM then reviews and approves your claim and calculates the amount of your earned SBI incentives. SBI is designed to reward your value-add sales and technical activity, so I don't want you to confuse the word sell with resell or fulfillment. By sell, we mean consultative selling activities. So SBI is rewarding your consultative sales activities in the account. Now, we'll examine each of these in more detail in the next section of our presentation. Let's go to slide number 11. This chart summarizes many of the key program rules and requirements that you can read about in detail in the SBI operations guide. In addition to the certification requirements associated with enrolling in SBI, there are also certification requirements for registering an opportunity. You need to have a technical certification in the same brand that you're registering. So, for example, if you wanted to register an opportunity for a Tivoli product, then you need to have a Tivoli technical certification. Or, as we discussed, is you need to be approved for the specific ValueNet portfolio in order to register an opportunity for that ValueNet product. The customer must be an eligible end-user customer. Government accounts are not eligible, and that does include state, local, and federal government accounts. But you also should be aware that there are many public schools, public health, and utility customers, and also companies that do work as government subcontractors, and their passport contracts may also be coded as government accounts. Now, you can send an email request to the SBI team to confirm whether or not a particular customer is coded as government. And we recommend that you confirm that eligibility, especially if you're dealing with any schools or hospitals or utilities, because you don't want to spend 9 months selling effort only to find out in the end that it was coded as an ineligible government account. Now, a partner who is enrolled in SBI in the United States can only register opportunities for customers located in the United States. If you're also doing business in Canada, then you need to enroll in Partner World, enroll in ValueNet, and enroll in SBI in Canada before you could register opportunities for customers located there. Puerto Rico is actually included as part of the U.S., but Canada is treated separately. Puerto Rico treated as part of the U.S. Now, one of the things our business partners like about SBI compared to earlier incentive programs is that SBI applies to both mid-market and enterprise accounts. Our earlier programs were for small, medium business only. Now, customers with the large enterprise license agreement or ELA contracts are also eligible for SBI. However, they're limited to a max of 5%. The only software products that are eligible for SBI are those part numbers that appear on the SBI eligible part number list. All of the products on the eligible list can be ordered via the Passport program, but not all products in Passport are on the SBI eligible part number list. The products purchased by the customer must be fulfilled via a Passport license contract. If the sale is fulfilled via the FCT process, a flexible contract type, those are not eligible. And I know a lot of the Heritage Cognos contracts were done under this FCT flexible contract type. Cognos tracked things on a processor basis, whereas Passport tracks things using this new methodology called PVUs, or processor value units. And in addition to FCT, there are some other contract types, OEM contracts, XSP hosting contracts, sales placed using the AAS hardware ordering tool. None of those are eligible. So remember, it has to be on a Passport contract and not via any one of these alternate contract types. It must be new license revenue. Reinstatements and renewals are not eligible. If the customer sale was purely a license fulfillment scenario or was the result of a compliance audit issue, that sales order will not be eligible for SBI. When you register your opportunity, you'll do so by brand family. And the brand family that you registered must match the brand family of the part numbers on the actual sales order. So be sure to use that SBI eligible part number list to make sure that you're registering the correct brand family in the Global Partner Portal. You'll need to be aware of various deadlines. Your opportunity must be registered a minimum of 15 days prior to the sales order close date, and you need to submit your payment claim no more than 30 days prior to or 60 days after the sales order date. Now, if there's any issue with your opportunity, for example, maybe you object to the type of C-level approval you received, whatever the issue is, you have a maximum of 30 days to raise your concern to IBM. When you submit your payment claim, you'll provide us with proof of performance, sales documentation. We'll review this item in much more detail later. Now, this may seem like an awful lot of rules to keep track of, but you can maximize your SBI fees by following a few keys to success. Now, remember, IBM will only approve one business partner per brand family per customer account. That protects your investment in that account, but it also means that it's key for your firm to have the internal administrative process and discipline to gather that sales forecasting data from your sales reps in a timely manner that enables you to be the first to register the deal for SBI and to be approved. Let's go to slide number 12. For Software Value Net portfolios, a business partner achieves a brand certification achieved status for a brand family by being authorized for the portfolio of the brand family, and it's not based on the achievement of a technical certification. So if you were a Lotus partner, the Y or yes that you see here in the brand certification achieved column is a result of you having a Lotus technical certification. But as a Cognos partner, the Y that you see in the brand certification achieved column is the result of being approved for Cognos in the ValueNet program. This slide also illustrates the relationship between the data that you'll see on the SBI eligible part number list and how you'll enter that data on the revenue tab of your opportunity record. If you're a Cognos partner, the brand that you'll see listed is Cognos. If you're an Optum partner, the brand that you'll see is Information Management. So if you look at that eligible part number list, you'll notice that Optum part numbers are listed under the Information Management brand. So a question has come up a number of times. A partner will ask, well, I have Information Management certifications. Why can't I register for the Optum product? So, you know, let's say you have DB2 certifications. Now, those certifications are good for registering a DB2 opportunity, but not an Optum opportunity, because having those information management technical certs isn't enough. You need to be approved for ValueNet for Optum before you can register an Optum opportunity. You need to be approved for ValueNet for Cognos before you can register a Cognos opportunity. If you just had IM, information management certification, then you could register an opportunity for, you know, let's say DB2 or Content Manager or Informix, but you're not going to be able to register an opportunity for ValueNet. So there's more details in the supplemental slides at the end of this deck that you can refer to if we need to deep dive into more details on the technical certifications that you can achieve. Let's go to slide number 13. The next step in the process is to register your opportunity online in the Global Partner Portal tool. When you're registering an opportunity, this is the information that you'll need to have available to complete the data entry process. It's very important to enter the opportunity into Global Partner Portal using the customer name and address as it appears on their passport contract, assuming that they have a current passport contract, or what is the name and address that will be used on a passport contract when that contract gets set up. Now, this does not tend to be an issue with small, medium business accounts, as they typically have a single location. But if you're dealing with a large enterprise customer, you might need to dig a bit further, because potentially the name and address on the passport contract might not necessarily be the same as the Does Business As location you're selling to. You know, for example, you could be selling to the ABC company, but the passport contract they purchase under has the name of their parent company, XYZ Inc., in a different state. So in that scenario, you would need to enter XYZ in Global Partner Portal and then tell us that they have an alternate name of the ABC company. Also, be sure to use full legal name and not abbreviation. So if you're selling to the ABC company, we want you to enter Apple Baker Charlie in Global Partner Portal and then list an alternate name or Does Business As name of ABC company. You'll see a slide in a moment with more details and examples. If you don't provide the proper alternate names, which we need to do those proper duplicate searches, and then the sales order closes under a name that you did not provide, we will not consider that to be a matching sales order. You'll need to register basic opportunity information, description, revenue, forecasted close date, etc. Only include IBM software revenue in the forecasted total. Do not include billable services or hardware in your revenue estimate. At least one customer executive contact must be provided, and we do not accept purchasing or procurement contacts, as those individuals would indicate that you're engaged in purely a license fulfillment scenario. Partners can only register a validated opportunity, and as you may recall if you attended any of IBM's sales training classes, a validated opportunity is one which you can answer the BANT question, budget, authority, need, and time frame. The SDI process really involves two separate distinct steps. First, the opportunity must be registered and will determine if it's eligible to earn SDI fees. Now, just because an opportunity is approved as eligible to participate in SDI doesn't mean fees will be paid, because there are still many other program rules and deadlines that must be met, and we won't be able to confirm those until the sales order has actually closed and we have reviewed your supporting sales documentation. So as you can see, the design of this process really eliminates partners from registering non-validated opportunities. You know, you can't register an opportunity unless you can answer these kinds of basic questions about the deal. So this prevents partners from filling the Global Partner Portal tool with things that are just marketing leads or account placeholders. And this also discourages partners from registering an opportunity if they're not also the one who is authoring and delivering the supporting sales documentation to the customer. There's no reward for merely registering or identifying an opportunity. You have to be engaged in the value-add activities that influence the customer's decision to purchase, and you have to provide us proof of performance documentation. So you cannot earn fees for identifying only. Again, this slide is a good example of why it's a good idea to establish a central point of contact responsible for data entry and tracking. You know, think about who at your firm has access to this sales forecast information about your account. Is it the rep? Is it the manager? How will they get this information to the person who's actually going to log onto the GPP tool and do the data entry? All right, we're going to go to slide 14, and I'm getting some messages here that some folks don't have a copy of the slide deck. The URL that you received in the invitation to enroll in today's call, the materials are posted to that same website. You can get a copy of the PowerPoint chart, as well as the SVI quick reference card, and also posted there is a copy of the BANT form, which is what we'll discuss next here on slide 14. Also, if you can't seem to get to that website right now to get to the PowerPoint, if you happen to have an email handy for one of your SME contacts, like Dave Walker, is dswalker@us.ibm.com. Trying to look up people's emails quickly here for you.
And the, Mary, this is Chris. Lloyd can be reached at jlwint@us.ibm.com. And Dave Kavitz at kavitz@us.ibm.com.
Thanks, Chris.
Sure.
So we just wanted to, you know, jump in there and share that. So if you don't happen to have the slide deck in front of you, just reach out to one of those guys, and we'll get that downloaded for you as soon as possible. Okay, slide 14, the BANT form. The BANT is a Word document that needs to be completed and added to the Attachments tab in the GPP tool. Now, why do we need the BANT form? Well, we were actually unable to program these questions into the GPP application. You know, we wanted to have an actual BANT tab and have you answer all of these questions online, but from a programming perspective, it was just easier for us to do this step as a Word attachment. So now you should, as I mentioned earlier, you should only be registering validated opportunities. And the definition of a validated opportunity is one where you've made at least one sales call on the customer and you know what that client's budget, authority, need, and time frame is. There's a spot on the BANT form to explain any alternate names that the customer may go by. And again, it's important for you to provide us with those alternate names, which we need to do the proper searches. The more detailed description you can provide on the BANT form describing the customer's opportunity, the better. You know, we don't need extensive information. You know, we're not looking for a master's thesis, but a sentence or two should be sufficient. But the better the information you provide on this form, the better your chances of being approved for ID and selfies. Because we may find a duplicate record for the same customer or brand family, but without a detailed description from you, we may not have enough information to eliminate those duplicates as potential conflicts with your record. You know, now if you're registering an opportunity for a small customer, Joe's Hardware, chances are there's probably only one small customer by that name out there in our databases. But if you're registering for a large enterprise customer, let's say Blue Cross Blue Shield, chances are we're going to find dozens and dozens of potential matches under that name. And so we need you to provide us with as much details as possible so that we can determine if we're comparing the right Blue Cross Blue Shield location or the opportunity IBM has identified and compare it to your registration for the customer with the same name. Let's go to slide 15. Now, this slide shows detailed examples of how to list the alternate names on your BANT form. Now, I won't read all these bullets to you, but I wanted you to have this for your reference. Let's go to slide number 16. The next step in the process is that IBM reviews your submission. When you submit the opportunity to IBM for SBI eligibility, we perform duplicate opportunity searches to determine whether or not you should be approved as eligible for ID and cell or cell only. There's a higher fee percentage associated with having identified the opportunity versus just being a sales resource on the opportunity, so business partners are always motivated to get their opportunities entered promptly and be approved when they can for ID and cell. So the first step of the approval workflow is to determine if the opportunity is complete. If the opportunity is incomplete, such as it's missing some address information or missing a contact or missing a BANT, we'll return your opportunity to draft status so that you can update and correct it and resubmit it. If it is complete, we next search to see if you were the first business partner to register this brand family at this customer in the Global Partner Portal tool. If another business partner had already submitted an opportunity for the same brand family at this customer prior to your submission, your opportunity will be marked as denied participation. Now, you would also see denied participation if you were trying to register a deal outside of the U.S. or outside of your enrollment location, or if your opportunity is for a known government account. Those will also be marked as denied participation. Now, if there are no duplicates in Global Partner Portal from another business partner, next we search for IBM identified duplicates, because we're going to determine now if IBM has already identified this brand family at this customer. If IBM is not aware of the opportunity and don't have a record in the IBM systems already, then it will be approved as a net new opportunity, and you'll be eligible to receive ID and cell fees for that brand family. If IBM has already identified it, then we determine, has IBM acknowledged that your firm is the sales resource that they've engaged in the opportunity by having listed your company's name on the IBM opportunity record? If your name does appear on the IBM opportunity record, then we approve you for cell-only fees. If you're not on the IBM record, then we would return your opportunity to draft. And once the business partner gets the IBMer to add them to the record, then you can resubmit and be considered for cell-only consideration. And then these steps are repeated for each brand family or each revenue line item in the opportunity record. Now note, whether you're approved for ID and cell or cell only, you'll see an overall SBI status of eligible full participation or eligible partial participation. It's important to understand that the words full and partial have to do with how many revenue line items on your opportunity were approved. It has nothing to do with the incentive fee type of ID and cell or cell only. So it's important for you to open your opportunity record once it's been approved and view the details to see the incentive fee type and whether or not you were approved for ID and cell or cell only. Recall the deadline from the earlier slide that you have a maximum of 30 days to raise an objection to your opportunity status. So don't make the mistake of assuming that full equals ID and partial equals cell. The correct thing to do is to open the record, go to the SBI tab, and look there for the incentive fee type. If you have a question or objection on it, you've got a maximum of 30 days to bring that to our attention and inquire about it. Now remember, if we have to return your opportunity to draft, your submit date timestamp is wiped out. You'll get a new timestamp when you resubmit the opportunity, and that means that 15-day clock starts over again when you resubmit. So no consideration is given to that original create date or submit date of when you first tried to register the opportunity. Your opportunity needs to be timestamped 15 days prior to the sales order date, and so you want to take that into consideration when you're submitting a record don't assume that it's never going to go back to draft. It could go back to draft. You could have your submit date timestamp wiped out, and then your 15-day clock has to start over again. Now, if IBM finds a duplicate record and you're not listed on the record, we'll try to contact you to alert you to get added to the record before we reject it back to draft. But it is up to you to follow up in a timely manner with the IBM sales reps for assistance. Let's go to slide 17. Okay, now on the previous slide, we discussed searching for IBM duplicate opportunity records. There are two key fields on the IBM record that we review to determine whether it was ID'd by IBM or by the partner. First, we look at the source field on the IBM record to see if it says Solution Provider Core BP, which indicates that it was identified by the partner. The source field is the one and only field that we use for identification metric purposes. When an IBMer creates their opportunity record, they create a source when the opportunity is initially created, and they cannot edit it later. So it's not possible for you to ask an IBMer or for an IBMer to tell you that they're going to simply change the value in the source field, because that edit simply cannot be done. Now, we'll look at all the opportunities for this customer in the same brand family when the source has an IBM value, such as telesales or client team. And then we'll look at the timestamp on those IBM-identified sources to see if the IBM record is dated before or after the business partner submits date timestamp. If the IBM record is timestamped after the partner, we would consider it to be partner identified and you'd be approved for ID and sell. But if the IBM record is timestamped before the partner's record, then we consider it to have been identified by IBM, and then we'll move on to see if the partner can be approved for sell-only fees. Now, in this sales stage example, the business partner submitted it in Global Partner Portal on April 1st, but the IBMer's record is dated March 30th. So IBM identified this first, and the partner would not be eligible for ID fees. Now, usually the dates are never that close, but they could be. But, you know, it's important for you to understand the process and not to discuss your opportunities with IBMers until you've been approved for SBI, because there are some IBMers that do have metrics on their quotas for identifying opportunities. Now, not all Cognos opportunities have been migrated yet from the old Salesforce.com system to the IBM CRM Siebel system. So when we search for a duplicate Cognos opportunity, we also look at Salesforce.com data for those duplicate records in addition to searching in CRM Siebel. Similar to what I described for Siebel, those Salesforce.com opportunity records would have an indicator in them as to whether or not the opportunity was identified by the partner or whether that business partner has been engaged as the sales resource. Let's go to slide 18. If you've got a working relationship with the IBM direct team and there's a lead that they've passed to you or asked you for your sales involvement, be sure to ask the IBMer to add your firm's name to their partner tab or to their sales team tab. This way, when we do our duplicate search, you know, we'll find that IBM opportunity record and see the name listed on the IBM record. If you're not listed on the record, then we might need to return your opportunity to draft until you're added to the IBM record. Once you've been added to the IBM record, you can submit it, resubmit it for SBI, and then get approved for sell only. Now, IBM-identified opportunities are those where the source lists an IBM value, such as telesales or client rep or brand specialist, basically anything other than solution provider core BP. And IBM-identified opportunities are those where the IBM record predates the submit date of the business partner record in GPP. And then if it's an IBM-identified deal, the business partner must be listed on the IBM record before the partner can be approved for sell-only fees. There's also a question on the BANT form that asks whether or not you've been engaged by the IBM Direct team. This can help speed up approval for those sell-only scenarios. Now, if you're expecting sell-only approval because it's a lead that you're working jointly with IBM, then be sure that they've added you to their opportunity record and ask the IBM rep what the opportunity number is and reference that in your submission. Let's go to slide 19. Now, an automated email notification will be sent whenever IBM changes the overall SBI status field. You see a sample of the email that will be generated here on this slide. It'll reference the opportunity number and the customer name and the overall SBI status. This email will only be sent to whomever is listed as the primary on the sales team field of your opportunity record. Now, you can spot this by going to the sales team tab on the particular opportunity and looking for the check mark in the primary column. Now, if you want to change who at your firm is receiving these email notifications, you can add a new user so that they appear on the sales team tab and then update the primary flag selection so that that individual is getting this automated email. Again, it's only sent to one person and it's sent to the whomever is the primary. So when you get this email, you need to open up the record, go to the SBI tab, and look at the incentive fee type and status columns to see what fee level you were approved for. Be sure that you have a valid email contact on your sales team tab. Now, here's another example of why a single point of contact is a good idea. You know, who from your firm is going to receive these email notices from IBM? What some partners do is set up a generic name, you know, maybe SBI@partner.com. Rather than JaneDoe@partner.com, because what if Jane is out of the office? You know, can anyone else from your firm access that email account? So you might want to think about setting up some type of group email ID that multiple people can access for this type of purpose. Let's go to slide number 20. Once we go through the duplicate search analysis, we will approve your opportunity for ID and sell or sell only. And here are the fee percentages associated with each of those types of approvals. There's an email address I have at the end of this slide deck. You can send IBM an email with a customer name and address, and we'll confirm to you whether or not it's an enterprise or general business account. That will help you plan on whether or not you're going to get the higher fees associated with a small, medium business or general business account. Sometimes you'll hear IBM refer to enterprise customers as integrated or aligned, and GB or general business customers, you might also hear us use the terms small, medium business, SMB, or mid-market. But big account or small account. Now, you can earn the fulfillment margin for reselling the licenses, or if the deal is fulfilled by IBM Direct, then you can submit a claim for SBI fees, but you cannot earn both. If the sales order is fulfilled by a different partner, you cannot claim SBI fees. Now, this is a real key difference between how ValueNet products are treated versus other brand families in the SBI program. For non-ValueNet products, if you lose the resale piece, you can still earn SBI. But for ValueNet products, if another reseller does the license fulfillment, you cannot claim SBI. And if it gets fulfilled by IBM Direct, it must be via a passport contract. Again, sales orders that are fulfilled via the FCT process are not eligible. Now, if you do the fulfillment, that's the deepest margin. And, you know, think of that as those monies are upfront in the form of margin. But, you know, ask yourself, how much of that do you get to keep? You know, for a Cognos deal, a partner might typically get, you know, 35+% off of the entitled price for resale margin. So, you know, let's say the list price on a deal is $100,000. Your cost might be, you know, $60,000-$65,000, but how much of that 35-40% are you retaining versus dropping to the street price. Now, if you identified an opportunity in a general business account and IBM fulfills the resale via Passport, then you can get 20% via the SBI program. So how does that compare with how much margin you're retaining when you did the fulfillment on it? Resale margin is upfront and immediate, and it's in the form of margin. SBI is after the fact, after the sales order has closed, and is in the form of a rebate. So a couple of things to keep in mind. Let's go to slide 21. There are two checkboxes in Global Partner Portal called Work in GPP and Is Restricted, and this is what gives you control as to whether or not IBM direct sales reps can have view-only access to your opportunity record. So as you're working with those direct sales IBM reps, you can choose whether or not they can view the opportunity records that you created in Global Partner Portal. Now, this entirely depends on the working relationship that you have with those local IBM direct sales reps that are assigned to these customer accounts. You know, the important thing to understand is that this is completely in your control. You decide whether or not to allow a copy of your opportunity record to flow from the GPP system to the IBM CRM Siebel system. Now, we recommend that when you initially create your opportunity record, you should always select the confidentiality checkboxes. You can turn these off in the future if you desire, but once you've shared the data, you cannot re-restrict it in the future. Now, for the SBI program, it really does not matter to us whether or not you choose to share the data. But keep in mind that Global Partner Portal is also used for other programs. You've got BCC for hardware, you've got OM for the opportunity management and co-marketing programs, and so there may be other IBM sales reps or other IBM organizations that may desire to see or perhaps even not see your records for their forecast and pipeline purposes. So it's always best to ask the IBMers that you're working with whether or not they'd like to see your record. And again, it's entirely up to you. There's no requirement for you to share from an SBI perspective. Now, another function in Global Partner Portal is lead passing. An IBMer may have created a record in CRM Siebel for a deal they identified, and they may want to pass that lead to you. And if IBM passes a lead to you, you can accept that opportunity record in Global Partner Portal. The way that you can tell the difference is records that you create in Global Partner Portal will always be formatted 1JF, a dash, and then a six-digit alphanumeric number. If it's a record that IBM creates in CRM Siebel, it'll be a 2 and a dash, or eventually a 3 and a dash, and then a 6-digit alphanumeric number. So if you take one of those 2-dash records from IBM that was passed to you and you accept it in Global Partner Portal, you could update it by adding a BANT form and adding contacts, etc., and then submit it for SBI. Now, that could save you some keystrokes because the account and the address and basic revenue information will have already been filled in by the IBM rep before they pass that lead to you. However, you know, be aware that if it's a passed lead, if it's an opportunity that came from IBM, that's going to be approved for sell only. And because by definition we're talking about an IBM identified lead that was passed to you. And when IBM passes you a lead, those check boxes are always going to be unrestricted. You cannot restrict an opportunity that was passed to you from IBM. Let's take a look at slide 22. All right, now, once you're ready to submit payment claims, you need to update your opportunity record with several additional pieces of information. The supporting sales documentation could be attached to the opportunity record really at any time prior to submitting for payment requests. So we'll get into details on documentation in a moment. Now, after an opportunity is submitted for eligibility, you can continue to update the revenue, dollar values, the percentage odds, the decision date, the close date, and you should keep that information current, especially for those opportunities that you're sharing with IBM. Once you've clicked the Submit for Payment Request button, you can no longer edit the revenue and date field. Now, there are some of these fields you can no longer edit once you've submitted it for eligibility. You cannot change the brand family. You cannot change the type. You cannot change the description field. You cannot change the account name and address. You cannot add or edit or delete or update brand family. So if something has changed in your opportunity record and the brand family is no longer valid or the account is no longer valid, you're going to have to create a new opportunity record. There are several fields that are optional. Now, if you have that information, it does assist us in locating the right matching sales order and will help to speed up your payment processing. So if you happen to know the passport contract number or the sales order number or invoice date, please provide that to us, but is not required. Let's go to slide 23. There are three key audit points we're looking for in your supporting sales documentation: product recommendations, two-way communication, quantity or configuration, and we'll deep dive into each of these next. As you can see, if you're merely doing license fulfillment, you're not going to be able to meet the documentation requirements. If you're not doing value-add consultative selling activity, then there's no use bothering to register for SBI because you're not going to be able to produce the documentation required to make a payment claim. So again, these documentation requirements are designed to keep partners who are merely performing license fulfillment from participating in the SBI program. As we emphasized earlier, a real key to success is having an administrative process in place. Your sales reps need to understand the requirements and set aside copies of their documentation during the course of the sales cycle for you to use once you're ready to submit it for payment claim. Your sales reps need to know what's expected and what they need to keep copies of. It's very difficult to try to do forensic reconstruction of a sales call months later. Another key thing I want to communicate here are the documentation requirements are the types of things you're probably already delivering to your customers. You shouldn't need to be creating anything new or unique for SBI purposes. These are the kinds of documents that are already part of a normal sales cadence process. Let's go to slide 24. The first key documentation requirement is the product recommendation. The product recommendation is the proof that you influence the customer's decision to acquire the software solution. A proposal document is outlining the customer's business issues, your solution, what are the benefits associated with that solution. The best description I can give to this requirement is to think of a document that shows you engaged in a discussion of product feature function benefits with the customer. Or perhaps you performed some value-add sales or technical activities, such as a product demonstration, a PowerPoint presentation. You performed billable services with a statement of work. The recommendation must be for the same solution and same products that you registered in Global Partner Portal and as described in your BANT form, and that are in the same brand family on the matching sales order. In other words, if you registered a Cognos opportunity, if you give me documentation that discusses DB2, that's not going to be considered a match. Or if you registered for Cognos, but the part numbers on your matching sales order are for DB2, that's not a valid match. So four things have to match: what you described in your BANT, what brand family you registered, what part numbers did the customer actually purchase, and what brand family those part numbers are in, and then what your documentation recommends. And again, to reiterate, if it's purely passport contract management or license fulfillment, license compliance activities, that is not considered an applicable SBI solution. Let's go to the next slide, 25. two-way communication requirement is most easily met by email strings. This is what most of our partners in the program use for two-way communication documentation. When copying and pasting your email strings, if you're going to save that for us in a Word or PDF attachment, be sure to take care that the header information is intact. We need to be able to see the to and the from, name and email address, the date and the topic, so that we can properly audit that it is a two-way communication between you and the customer. If it's an email between you and IBM or between IBM and the customer, that is not applicable. Let's take a look at slide 26. What we're trying to establish with the quantity configuration requirement, which is especially critical in a large enterprise account or accounts with ELAs, enterprise license agreements, is to distinguish what quantity or configuration you directly influence for a particular department or division versus having your deal roll up into a much larger corporate-wide purchase for thousands of licenses. We want to pay you on what portion of that large deal that you directly influence. Now, for our non-value net opportunities, those partners typically use a price quote to meet that requirement. But, you know, obviously, since the requirement for SVI for value net partners is that IBM fulfills the sales order, it's likely that you won't have a price quote that you're going to be delivering to the customer. But a price quote is not the only type of document that we would accept for quantity or configuration. And we do still need a quantity or config, even if you're not the one reselling the product. So, you know, perhaps in your statement of work, there's a reference to installing a certain number of servers and clients. Or perhaps you have a network diagram of the proposed solution that clearly shows the number of servers and clients being configured. Those are examples of things that could be used for sizing and quantity. Let's go to slide 27. Now, you must attach supporting sales documentation. Sometimes we'll have a partner who says, but we do everything face-to-face or over the phone. So understand that you are still going to have to meet these requirements if you're going to participate in SVI. And, you know, a good sales cadence means that even if you only did that meeting face-to-face or that discussion face-to-face, you should follow that up with an email summarizing what was discussed or answer questions that arose in the meeting. But we can't pay an SVI claim if there is no documentation or if you said, well, we did everything face-to-face. We have to have documentation. Now, there is no minimum number of documents or specific types of documents that are required. We look in aggregate at the total documentation that was submitted. For example, you know, one of the requirements is that all the documents must be dated. Now, let's say you've got a great PowerPoint file that would serve as the product recommendation, but unfortunately the PowerPoint file is missing the required date field. But you also have attached an email string that shows that PowerPoint file name as an attachment that you sent to the customer. Then we can use the date of the email to establish in context the date of the PowerPoint attachment. So that's an example of how we look at your documents in aggregate to establish whether you have met the three key criteria. Let's go to slide number 28. Now, these are the typical documentation types that are acceptable for SVI, and on slide 29 are types of documents that are not acceptable for SVI. One of the things I want to point out here is IBM quick proposal templates that we have on Partner World or our product presentations, we do have an awful lot of material via the Partner World program that we want and encourage you to plagiarize. But the key difference is you have to customize it and tailor it and deliver it to your end user customer. You can't just take an IBM authored presentation and use that as your proof. Things like product literature, PDFs, of product brochures are not eligible. Note on the last bullet, we cannot accept any document in a draft form. We need a final version delivered to the customer. So, for example, a document with a signature line that's not signed would be considered to be a draft. Let's go to slide number 30. You can use this checklist to review the documentation you have attached for completeness. Ask yourself these questions about your attachments. This will help you determine if you've covered all the key audit points. IBM will review your documentation, and if additional information is needed, you'll be contacted and asked to attach more documentation. If you fail to respond to our request for additional documentation, at that point your opportunity could be denied for payment processing. And there are still additional rules that need to be compared against your opportunity record. So just because your documentation was approved doesn't mean that you'll get paid. You know, we still have to look at the dates and the brand families, et cetera. Now, the SBI team's duties stop at the documentation review, and then the actual payment processing is handled by another organization within our group. Typically, payment is processed 2 to 3 weeks after your opportunity has advanced to a status of reviewing payment rules. And you can then look for additional overall SBI status values of approved for payment, and then finally you'll see paid. Going back to SBI enrollment for a moment, when you enrolled, you selected whether or not you wanted a hard copy check or direct deposit into a bank account. Let's go to slide 31. Now, there are several keys to success that you can ensure a positive and profitable experience with the SBI program. The key point is administrative discipline. You need to decide who from your company is going to gather the needed information and put it into a tool and then track the progress of those opportunities to make sure no deadlines are missed. We highly recommend that users new to GPP first review the educational materials, and I'll review some GPP Getting Started tips in a moment. The key recommendation, you really should think about assigning a single point of contact. We've seen other partners try to push out all these details to multiple field sales reps, and in our experience, that approach is unmanageable. Also, save yourself some frustration and don't try logging onto Global Partner Portal without taking the education first. The screens are not self-evident as to what the next step is that you need to take to create an opportunity and submit it. Another key to SBI success is ensuring that your sales reps understand the program requirements. They need to get you the information about what deals they're working on so that you can be the first partner to register it in GPP, and your reps need to keep copies of the documentation they deliver to their customers so that you can use those documents for your payment claim. And you need to be familiar with the passport program, even if you're not the one doing the reselling. You need to understand how the account name and address, bill to and ship to information is set up, especially for large enterprise accounts. Let's go to the next slide. Once your opportunity has been submitted and approved, here are some questions that you should be reviewing to make sure that all of your I's are dotted and T's are crossed. Ask yourself, what were you approved for? What's the status? What's the submit timestamp? When does that opportunity expire, et cetera? Let's take a look at slide 33. Similar questions that you need to be asking about the customer. What size account is it? Is it a public sector account? I've listed here the email addresses that you can use to contact to confirm whether or not that customer will be eligible for SBI. And your VAD can assist in looking up passport information on the customer. Let's go to the next slide. All right. You might be thinking, this SBI thing sounds like a lot of work. Do I need to do this? Well, here's some things to consider. You know, think about the margin you're retaining on a resale scenario versus the rebates you could earn with SBI. If you're the reseller, you don't need to give IBM copies of your documentation to earn that margin versus all the rules and deadlines that are out there for the SBI program. But are you 100% certain that you're going to be the reseller? There's many reasons why that sales order could end up being fulfilled by IBM Direct. You've got special bids, you've got passport and ELA contracts, you've got end-of-quarter pressures. SBI is your insurance policy, so protect yourself. Register your deal for the SBI program just in case it goes direct, because if you lose the resale margin, you can fall back on SBI fees. But it's also important to remember, you got to have that discussion with those IBMers you're working with, that if they do take it direct, it absolutely, positively must be done via a passport contract. Do not use the flexible contract type. The sales order must be via passport. Let's go to the next slide. All right, now let's move on to some getting started tips with the GPP tool. When you enroll in SBI, IBM sets up the initial access for the person at your firm who is the Partner World Authorized Profile Administrator, or APA. IBM sets up the profile for just this one person. It is then the APA's job to decide who else from your firm will have access to GPP and what level of access they will have, whether it'll be view only or edit, and for which programs, BCC, SBI, OM, etc. So if your first question is, how do I even get access? Well, the very first step is that an employee needs to set up a registration ID and password, and I have a slide on that in the backup material. Then your APA needs to add you as an employee to your firm's Partner World profile, and then your APA decides what clearance level to give you and for which program. So if you can't even log on, or if you log on and you can't see the opportunity records that you expect to, or maybe you don't see the SBI tab when you log on, then that's an issue with how your administrator set up your GPP profile. So if you're stuck on the point of prior to even being able to log on to the system, please contact the GPP Help Desk or the Partner World Profile Help Desk for assistance in correcting your profile. One of the things many users have issues with right away is due to the browser that they have installed on their computer. Be aware that Global Partner Portal is not fully supported with Internet Explorer version 7. We recommend that you use the older version 6 for best results. Now, if you've already upgraded to IE 7, I know it's difficult to back that out, so you instead may find it easier to use an alternate browser for GPP access, such as Mozilla or Firefox. Also, if your browser has pop-up blockers or integrated toolbars such as Yahoo or Google, those are known to cause problems. Let's go to slide 36. As I mentioned earlier, we highly recommend that you review the educational materials and simulations prior to logging on to GPP for the first time. The user interface may be in a browser, but keep in mind it's a mainframe application presented in a browser, and therefore it does not have the kind of Java web look and feel that you may expect. You know, this is not an application where a new user can say, oh, I'll just log on and figure it out on my own. So one of the handouts we've provided is the SBI Quick Reference Card. You really should have that handy when you're logging on as a new user to help you guide you through the process. A couple of items in the user interface to get used to. When you select a line item, you'll click on the chevron, which looks like a greater than sign. That highlights the line with a yellow background. Where you see text highlighted in blue, that's hyperlinked. And so if you see an opportunity number or an account name in blue, you can click on it to access that record. The control icon, which looks like a little checkbox, a little check mark within a box, that's what you click on to launch its associated pop-up window for that item. And then you'll click on a little triangle called the list arrow to get a list of choices. You'll notice that many of the screens do not have scroll bars. Instead, you'll click on this little triangle to advance to the next screen. And be aware that you can only type directly in a blank data entry field. If you see a control icon or a list arrow next to a white field box, you cannot type in that field. Also, the queries in Global Partner Portal are very case-sensitive and punctuation-sensitive, so make sure to use an asterisk as a wild card when doing your queries. Let's go to slide 37. One of the gotchas that seems to get every new user is this unsaved changes error message in Global Partner Portal. If you attempt to move off the screen without having first selected save, an error message pops up and asks, "You have unsaved changes. Do you want to continue?" You need to click cancel and then click save, because if you click OK, what you're saying is, yes, I want to continue without saving my changes. And the reason this trips people up is that in Microsoft Windows, the logic of this question is written differently. You know, the standard Windows error message is, do you want to save your changes? And so people are used to answering this question in the affirmative, yes, I want to save my latest changes. But if you don't pay attention to the language in the question in GPP, you may not realize that answering yes or okay in GPP is really saying, yes, I want to continue without saving my changes. Let's go to slide 38. Keep in mind that the Global Partner Portal is used for multiple IBM programs. You've got BID certification for hardware partners, OM for lead passing, and SBI for software. So many of the screens and fields that you'll see in the default views when you log on have nothing to do with the SBI program. So one of the first steps you'll want to do is edit your columns displayed, especially on your main opportunities list view. You want to remove the BCC and OM fields that are not applicable to you if you're not participating in those programs. There are several key fields for SBI that you'll need to proactively add to your view because those are not part of the system default for new users. This screen shows you how to access the columns displayed view. The column on the left are for the available fields. The column on the right are those that are currently displayed. Use the buttons in the center to move choices from the left and right side, and use the buttons on the right to reorder the sequence that they display on your screen. When you're done making your changes, click Save, and if you want to start over, you can click on Reset Default. Let's go to the next slide. Just a quick point, all timestamps in GPP are synchronized to GMT time. That's 5 hours ahead of USA time. So everything is synchronized to GMT, and so we recommend that everyone in your firm pick the same time zone. Let's go to slide 40. From the main opportunities list view, directly below the opportunities tab is a menu that says show. The two valid choices here are my opportunities and all opportunities. My opportunities are ones that you created. All include all of those where you're on the sales team, or perhaps if your job role is a manager, then you would be looking at all the opportunities for the reps that report to you. In the upper right corner, there's a queries drop-down menu. The only two valid choices here are current and all. Don't use anything else on that list because they're not functional. Current opportunities is everything from the last 12 months. All opportunities are everything regardless of the date. You'll notice a button here I highlighted in red. You'll click New to create a new opportunity. So let's go to the next slide to see what the screen looks like when you click New. When you start to create a new opportunity record, here's the initial screen that you'll see. The top half of the screen is referred to as the header record. Once we save and continue off of this screen, then we'll see tabs that will be added across the bottom of the screen. There are a number of fields that are system generated, and I've highlighted those in yellow. The opportunity number will be created. The decision date will fill in with a default 3 months from today's date. For SBI opportunities, you need to complete the account, the description, the sales stage, restriction flags, revenue, and probability odds. Contacts is also required, but we won't do that from this screen. For revenue, you could either access revenue from this screen by clicking the control icon next to revenue, which you see in the upper right corner, or we can complete the revenue section later from the tabs on the bottom of the screen once we save and continue to the next step. You'll notice that there are red asterisks indicating required fields, but this is only for those fields that are required for all programs, whether it's an SBI, BCC, or OM opportunity record. There are a number of additional fields that are also required for SBI that don't have an asterisk next to them. Also, where you see various items for BCC or OM, such as classification and ITAR and alt language, you can ignore all of those fields. A tip or trick I want to point out here, you can only delete an opportunity if the sales stage field never progresses beyond a sales stage 1. Now, you need to make this sales stage 4 to submit it for SBI eligibility, but if you're just cruising around and trying to get used to the look and feel of a tool and creating some sample test records to play with, then be sure to leave it at sales stage 1. That will allow you to delete it, because if you go off of this screen with it higher than sales stage 1, then that opportunity record is pretty much going to be appearing in your view forever. On slide 42, you'll click the control icon next to the account field to access the pick list of accounts. The accounts that you see displayed are those that you've created or used before on other opportunities. So the very first time that you do this, this pop-up menu will be blank. You can either create a new account or query from the IBM database. Now, we recommend that you query and select from the IBM provided list before creating your own. Let's go to the next slide for more info on account queries. When you query, you need to use a minimum of 2 characters and an asterisk. And be sure to use asterisks as wildcards. For example, if you were querying for ABC Company, is it ABC Company or the ABC Company? Are there periods or hyphens or spaces between the A, the B, and the C? So in order to search properly, you would want to query on asterisk A, asterisk B, asterisk C, asterisk. Now, also, be aware that the query data loaded here is from a marketing database and not actual customer install data. We couldn't share actual customer data due to privacy legislation, so keep in mind that what's loaded here is a marketing database. So it may or may not match the actual street address for these customers. And remember, so one of the SBI rules is that you have to register your deal as the name and address appears in Passport. So if you don't find an exact match, then exit this screen and instead create your own opportunity. Now let's go to the next slide, 44. Now, recall on the previous slide, we started by creating and clicking on New from the Opportunities tab, and then we clicked on New, and then we can access the control icon pop-up to get to the account. There are many alternate ways to do things in GPP, but for clarity and simplicity, our education materials will try to keep you on a single track and do everything from the main opportunities tab. But I think many of you new users might find it easier instead to first go to the accounts tab and preload all of your top customers. You know, gather a list of your top 10 or 20 customers that you think you might be creating SBI records for. Go to the Accounts tab and query for them or create them and load them here. That way, when you go to create a new opportunity record and from the main opportunity tab, when you click on that control icon for accounts, you'll get a pop-up list that will already be preloaded based on the data that you've entered here. Now, you could do it either way, but I think for new users, you might find it easier to do separate steps when performing those account queries. Okay, let's go to slide 45. Once you've completed the basic information on the opportunity header record on the top half of the screen, you'll click Save, and then when you reopen that record, you'll now see additional tabs across the bottom half of the screen. And we'll next step through all of these tabs to continue working with this record. The first thing you want to do before continuing any further is go to the More Info tab and check the customer name and address you just entered. If it isn't exactly what you want or is a match to their passport, then exit and delete this record and start over again. You'll notice the control icon no longer appears to be next to the account field. You cannot edit the account information after this point. So if you've made a mistake, don't spend any time making further updates to an opportunity record that you're not going to be able to use. Also, I want to point out that you'll see a number of other tabs across the bottom for the BCC and OM program. You should ignore those tabs. They're not applicable for SBI. Also, on the top, ignore the buttons for collaboration and sales connection and global financing. Let's go to slide 46. The revenue information can be accessed either by clicking the control icon on the top half of the screen next to the word revenue, or on the bottom half of the screen you would go to the revenue tab. Here's what that pop-up would look like. The bill date field will be system generated from 3 months from today's date. You should update that to the actual forecasted close date. You'll notice a little PDF icon. You can click on that to launch the latest copy of the SBI eligible part number list. You want to use that part number list to make sure you're selecting the correct type and brand family to enter in your opportunity record. You could either enter quantity times price per unit and let GPP calculate the total revenue, or we recommend enter quantity 1, leave price per unit blank, and then manually enter your estimate of the total revenue. You can ignore the flow code and platform field. Be sure to click Save and recalculate revenue after you've made any edits to refresh the dollar total. Now, let's go to the next slide for more information on revenue. One of the questions that always comes up is, what revenue figure do I need to use? The answer is to use the IBM entitled price on the deal. Now, this is an example for a partner who is a reseller, and of course, as a ValueNet partner, the deal would be fulfilled by IBM Direct, but the concept is still the same. So here in this example, you've got a list price of the software at $50,000. The customer has a passport list level D list price of $45,000, but then IBM has a special bid discount, which drops that level D price to $40,000. Now, if you were selling a non-ValueNet product, and let's say you bought this from your VAD for $37,000, you sold it to your customer for $39,000, SBI is based on the lower of the entitled list price or the special bid list price. So in this case, it's $40,000. So when you initially create the opportunity record, take your best guess estimate as to the total revenue per brand family, let's say $40,000. But later, when you're submitting your payment claim, you would make updates to this figure to the actual revenue total, and in this case, that would be $40,000. All right, let's go to the next slide. I know we're running out of time here. The Attachments tab is what you'll use to send us your BANT form and supporting sales documentation. Don't email these documents to us. You must use the GPP tool and add them to the Attachments tab. When you click New, you'll get a pop-up window to add the attachment. Click Browse to point to the file on your local hard drive or your network drive and select the file that you want to upload. Be sure to click the checkbox for release to IBM so that we can see your attachments. For BANT, select an attachment type of SBI BANT. And for sales documentation with your payment claim, you'll select a type of SBI sales criteria. There's also a comments field if you want to write any kind of description. Let's go to the next slide for contacts. You'll need to add at least one customer executive contact to your opportunity. This should be a C-level or line of business executive that you're calling on who's involved in the decision-making. Purchasing and procurement contacts are not valid. First name, last name, title, email, and phone are the required fields. And this is a screen that you'll use to add your customer contacts, as opposed to employee or IBM contacts, which you'll see on slide 50. If you go to the Sales Team tab on the bottom half of your screen, you'll notice, unfortunately, we neglected to include the Add button there, something in the programming that we missed. So in order to add people to the Sales Team, what you need to do is on the top half of the screen, click the Control icon next to the word Sales Team. That'll get you the pop-up screen, that pop-up window that you need. Now, all the employees from your firm that have access to GPP will appear in that pick list, and you can add as many of your coworkers from your firm that you want. You can pass them ownership of the opportunity record if you want them to be the primary contact. Now, if you'd like to add an IBMer to the record, you can choose an IBM channel sales rep or choose an IBM direct sales rep. Now, if you're working with one of the Cognos specialists, such as Dave Walker or Dave Cavitz or Lloyd Wint, you don't need to add them here. They already have access to your records because they're part of the SBI team. This is for adding other IBM salespeople. But keep in mind that just adding an IBMer to the record is not enough. You must also remove the is restricted and working GPP flags in order for them to be able to see your opportunity in CRM Siebel. Now, IBMers will have view-only access. They cannot edit or delete your records, and they cannot see any of your attachments. Only the people on the SBI team can see your attachments. Let's go to the next slide for information on opportunity numbers. Now, for those of you on the call that have previously entered opportunities in the Cognos Salesforce.com PRM application, we ask that you provide us with that opportunity number. There is a field called BP Opti number that we want you to use to enter this data. You'd access this by clicking on the control icon next to the Sales Team tab on the header record. You get that same pop-up that we just saw on the previous screen, and you can enter any alphanumeric text you like in this field. So if you're not using Salesforce.com and therefore you don't need to use this field to share your SFA number with us, then instead, you could use this field to help you sort and search. You know, you can enter basically whatever you like here that makes sense to you. Maybe you want to add a rep's name. Maybe you want to add something like Western Region. You know, maybe you have your own internal customer number or accounting code that you want to enter into this field. Then you can edit your columns displayed in your main opportunity list view to include a column for BP OPTI number, and then you would be able to sort and search on that column. So as you start to have a lot of opportunities to keep track of, this would be a good option for helping you manage your data. So again, this is optional. If you have a Cosmos Salesforce.com opportunity number, we'd like you to enter it here. If not, you don't need to do this stuff. Slide 52. Once you've stepped through all the tabs on the bottom half of the screen, we've now added our attachments, we've added our contacts, we've added our revenue. The next step is to go to the SBI tab. You'll notice the information displayed on the header record changes depending on which tab you've selected on the bottom half of your screen. So you're going to go to the SBI tab. You want to change the sales stage to 4, add any notes in the SBI comments field if you desire. Now, if you don't see an SBI tab on the bottom half of your screen, or if you don't see a submit for eligibility button on the header, then there's a problem with your profile, and you'll need to work with the GPP help desk to fix your profile before you're going to be able to submit this opportunity for SBI eligibility. So save your changes, click the submit for eligibility button. This action will cause the overall SBI status to change from draft to duplicate opportunity search. Once it's in duplicate opportunity search, IBM will begin the process of reviewing and approving your opportunity for SBI eligibility. Let's go to slide 53 to see what will be displayed once IBM has reviewed and approved your opportunity record. Recall our earlier discussion that the words full and partial have to do with a number of line items in your record and are not related to the incentive fee type. Once your opportunity has been approved, you need to open that record, go to the SBI tab, and review the SBI status and incentive fee type column. If you had an N or no in either the brand certification achieved or brand family SBI participation columns when you submitted the record, the GPP tool would automatically have marked those line items as ineligible and denied them. If there were no duplicate conflicts on the revenue line item, you'll see a net new status with approval for ID and sell. If there was an IBM identified opportunity and you are listed as a sales resource working with IBM, then you'll see sell only in the incentive fee column. Now, if you see a status of duplicate opportunity and the incentive fee type is blank, that means another partner was approved before you or that IBM has not engaged you on the deal. And then there's no fees in that line item. Let's go to the next slide, slide 54, to see payment claiming. Once you're approved as eligible for SBI, the deal closes. Now you're ready to submit a payment claim. First, you'll go to the Revenue tab and the Attachments tab on the bottom half of the screen. Add your supporting sales documentation to the Attachments tab and make updates to the final revenue figures on the Revenue tab. Also on the Revenue tab, be sure to update the bill date field, and the percentage odds should be updated to 100%. Now, if you happen to have the passport number, you can enter it here on the header record in the first column on the left. If you have it, great. If you don't, that's okay too. Passport information is optional. You'll update the sales stage to 7, sales stage 7, which is 1, implementing. The fulfilling business partner tick box won't apply to you as a ValueNet partner, since you'll only be claiming SBI for ValueNet products fulfilled by IBM, so you'll leave the checkbox blank. If the IBM direct rep that you're working with happens to know the sales order number, see if you can get that information. You can include it in the SBI comments field. That'll help speed up our search for the sales order. Once you've made all the final updates, click Save to save those changes, and then click on the Submit for Payment Request button. You'll see the overall SBI status update from eligible full participation to waiting order validation. That would indicate that you've successfully moved it to the next step in the process. At this point, IBM will search for a matching sales order. Once we find a matching sales order, you'll see your overall SBI status change to waiting sales verification. At that stage, IBM will start the review of your supporting sales documentation. If your documentation is approved, you'll next see the status change to reviewing payment rules. And then further, it'll progress to approved for payment and then finally paid. It varies on a number of factors, but in general, you can expect to receive your direct deposit or hard copy check usually 2 to 3 weeks after you see your status advanced to approve for payment. Let's go to slide 55. All right, so let's summarize some of the key points we've discussed and what your next step should be getting started with SBI. We assume everyone on this call has already taken the steps to join Partner World. You've set up your registration ID and password. You've completed the ValueNet application and enrollment process. But if you haven't done so yet, be sure to take the needed steps to complete your enrollment in SBI. Decide who from your firm is going to have access to the GPP tool and assign job responsibilities. You know, we realize some of you don't have the luxury of having a dedicated administrative employee, but do try to assign a single point of contact to focus on this task. Be sure everyone who's accessing GPP has access to the educational materials and quick reference cards and has viewed the simulations. Have them start entering opportunities into the tool. Contact the IBM Help Desk to confirm whether or not a customer is general business or enterprise, or whether or not a school, hospital, or utility customer is potentially coded as government, because you'll want to know upfront what percentage you'll be eligible for. Your VADs are a great resource to assist you with passport information about the customers. And since you can only earn SBI fees on IBM Direct Fulfilled deals that are sold via passport contracts, make sure that those IBM Direct reps that you're working with know that if they take the sales order down, they must do it via a passport contract. Changes are coming to the certification requirements for the SBI program as a result of the Growth Through Skills initiative, so be sure to develop an education plan and understand what certifications you need to obtain by the deadline in order to remain enrolled in ValueNet and SBI. Let's take a look at the next slide to see who you can contact for more information or assistance. We've got the three ValueNet specialists, Dave Cabot, Lloyd Wendt, and Dave Walker, and you can see on the grid there what territories they cover. And on the next slide, slide 57, are the other five SBI specialists for the non-ValueNet products and partners, including myself, and everybody on our team reports to Chris Follinsby. And then on the next slide, 58, you'll see some useful resources. These are some important links for some SBI resources, especially on accessing that education material. You can access those simulations via the GPP online help. You don't need to even be logged on to GPP or even Partner World to access that. You can directly access the simulations and online help without being logged on to GPP or Partner World. The eligible part number list, that changes regularly as new parts are constantly added and old ones are replaced or dropped. So you could save that offline as a PDF, but you really should only use the latest online version. On the next slide, you'll see several links for some other programs that you might be interested in reading more about. And I also have another 15 or 20 slides at the end of this deck with deeper details on enrollment and certification that you can reference. Chris, I'll turn the call back over to you, and Calvin, let's open up the phone lines to questions.
Gary, thank you very much for your very detailed presentation. I'm sure that the partners who are on the line probably have some questions. If you can't think of them right now, as Mary's mentioned, we've got the coverage chart there. You can certainly go to your software ValueNet SME and ask them any questions that you may not be able to come up with at this point. But if we have anything, Calvin, I'll let you give the instructions on how they need to ask.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. If you have muted your phone line, please unmute and record your first and last name as it is required to introduce your question. To withdraw your request, press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment for the first question.
I apologize. It doesn't sound like it's Calvin, but thank you for taking our question.
The first question comes from Jim Frazier. Your line is open.
Hi. I wanted to understand if we're working on a deal with an IBM rep and we apply, I guess it would be for sell only, the 5% incentive for us. How does that affect their payment?
I'll take that. This is Chris Follinsby. First of all, let me just correct an impression that you may have. You don't apply for sell only. You simply register for SBI, and we come back and tell you if you are eligible for ID and sell or just for sell. That will be based on any previous records that we find already registered by IBM. Now, the good news is that this does not affect IBM at all. SBI is an expense program. You needn't even tell them that you have applied for SBI or been approved. It has nothing to do with how they are paid at all. It's strictly paid to you at the close of the sale if you meet all of the requirements. Does that answer your question?
Yep.
Thanks.
The next question comes from Jose Resto. Your line is open.
Hi, good evening. Good afternoon. Actually, I have a question. I know that my software ValueNet and every application I have filled out is complete, but I'm not being able to register new opportunities from the FBI site.
Okay, where are you located?
In Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. Who has that? Is that Lloyd?
Lloyd Wint. Yeah.
Lloyd, can you get with Jose after the call and figure out where he is in the process and what seems to be the problem? I think Lloyd's on mute, but we'll handle that, Jose. What is your firm name?
My what? My firm name, Technology Partners.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll get
back. Thank you.
At this time, there are no further questions.
Well, we very much appreciate everybody's time and attention. I know we spent a little bit more time than you were anticipating today, but it was very valuable material, and Mary did a great job of going into detail. So, again, I would remind you, if you have further questions, don't hesitate to contact your SBI, SME, or your coverage rep from IBM, who can either answer the question or direct you to the proper person. Again, thanks for your time.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.